This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, December 27, 2023. The Feast of St. John the Divine by Father William Doc Holliday.
These things we write to you, that you may rejoice and your joy may be full. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Whenever St. John's feast day comes up, there's all kind of things that you can pick and talk about, take years and years and years to even touch the surface on some of the things he says. But I wanted to kind of step back today and actually look at who is this man, this Saint John, this disciple whom Jesus loves. To give a really broad overview of who he is, because it makes us appreciate him that just that much more. Who is this? This one who is referred to in a lot of the older scripture is, and I refer to him every time we read the gospel, is Saint John the Divine. A lot of people in our day and age think in some way you're presenting that he is divinity in some way. Divine is just an old term for a theologian. So it'd be like saying St. John the theologian. Because John, he had a, this is why we don't consider his gospel as a synoptic gospel. We consider it a gospel unto itself because it is truly so theological. It's so much more spiritual. Where the other ones speak of the history of our Lord's earthly ministry, St. John talks about his origins. St. John talks about a lot of things that have to do with our Lord's incarnation. He was given insight that none of the other apostles did. I mean, you look at the man. He's the only apostle that when we do his feast day, it's not read. But if you really look at him, you know, it's like talking about the Virgin Mother as being the queen of martyrs. And we talk about our Blessed Mother's martyr, but, well, she wasn't really martyred. Well, wasn't she really martyred? I mean, what she had to see, what she had to endure, seven sorrows, Our Lady of Sorrows, you know, all these titles we have. You know, she did, in a sense, because martyrdom doesn't always have to be, you know, someone actually physically killing you. But if you live a life of tremendous sacrifice for our Lord, and St. John did that. You know, I'm surprised. I'm glad we do it in white because he is a confessor, but we never want to lose sight of the fact that, well, all the other apostles were killed for it. Well, the other apostles, yeah, they were killed pretty early on. In the grand scheme of things, he lived for most, say, 68 years before, after our Lord was ascended into heaven. I thought it was a couple of years before the temple in Jerusalem was overrun by the Romans. So he dealt with things in the early church for a much longer time. And again, it wasn't pretty. Even when our Lord called him, what does he give up? Everything, his family, he and his brother James, they leave their father and they go follow our Lord. He watches his, not literally, we don't know if he literally watched him, but he experienced his brother James being killed by Herod to please the Jews. He was exiled for years on Patmos, and you look at it, before they exiled him, they tried to kill him. It wasn't an attempt. A lot of people say they attempted to kill him. They shot at him, but they missed, or they tried to do this, they tried to, but they actually physically tried to kill St. John to no avail. He survived the attempt. So this man, you know, not only does he have this long history of sacrifice for our Lord Jesus Christ, but I mean, he is the apostle who dug his heels in to confront the earliest of heresies when it came to our Lord Jesus Christ. He was a fighter that particularly they referred to at the time as the Ebionites, basically proto-Arians who denied that our Lord Jesus Christ was the eternal Son of God. Said he didn't exist until Bethlehem and was formed in the Blessed Mother's womb. He was a fighter of that heresy. He confronted things that were not true of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, I mean, this man did live a life of sorrows, so to speak. He did live a life of continual sacrifice for our Lord. This is the reality of who he was. And again, not only but blessed by our Lord Jesus Christ with special graces to understand more than the other apostles ever did about his origins and his incarnation. He got to see visions of heaven, the apocalypse of St. John, Revelation. St. John writes that for us because he had some tremendously particular blessings by our Lord Jesus Christ. We learn a lot from this. You learn a lot from it. You know, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Does that negate that he loved any of his other apostles? Absolutely not. He did love them, but he obviously pulls the rug right out from under the whole God is an egalitarian thing. He had a special love for St. John, very obviously. You know, St. John doesn't brag about it. He doesn't even remember, you know, I was the one that Jesus, he never refers himself, you know, that other disciple, the disciple whom Jesus, but he does say that. He doesn't refer to himself by name, but he talks about the disciple whom Jesus loved. So even he knew that in God's sight, he was special. He was special and he received special blessings. So, you know, we see this just in his person. In the gospel passage tonight, about, Mary Magdalene coming and telling them that the Lord's body wasn't there and he and Peter go running. You know, there's all kind of ink that's been spilled over that whole, you know, what this represents and what that represents and everything like that. But I really like, particularly given our day and time when some people have questions over as to authority and placement and things like that. There is a, dazzle your friends, a theological approach to the scripture, actually a hermeneutical approach to scripture called tropological. Tropologically looking at scripture is to learn a moral lesson to be drawn from the biblical text. And it's interesting, all the different things you can talk about Peter and him running and him winning and not going in and everything. I really like, and again, it's very apropos to take into consideration our day, and this was written in the 16th century. The 16th century, Cardinal Toledo, Francis Toledo, Spaniard, Jesuit, back in the day when they were good. He actually talks about this incident that we heard in the gospel today. And he said, from this tropological standpoint, Peter entered first to show his dignity as the one upon whom our Lord Jesus Christ built the church, the papacy. So in a nutshell, Peter's papal dignity is what we would refer to. St. John stepped back. Although he was first, he looked in first, he did not enter. He waited for Peter to get there and enter. But Cardinal Toledo says this, Peter entered first to show his dignity, but then John afterwards, because it is possible that he who is first in rank is behind others in merit and holiness. Even in the 16th century, there was this consideration of, yes, the papacy and the Pope, they are, the papacy is glorious and essential, and the men who fill that to a lesser or greater extent should be given the absolute utmost of deference for the position that they hold. But you don't look at it as if they are the holiest among everybody. Cardinal Toledo in the 16th century, they're behind others in merit and holiness. Obviously, Peter was behind St. John in merit and holiness. St. John may have run, just like every other apostle, but he came back. Peter didn't. St. John never denied our Lord. So he did have more merits, and he was more holy than St. Peter, although St. Peter was in rank before him. And so you learn things like this from these things in scripture. You don't ever want to miss the fact that you got to sit back and look at what all is being communicated to us. Like I said, there's a lot of different things that you go there, but this is really important for us to understand. This is what happens when we step back and look at the forest for the trees every now and then, not get into hair splitting minutia. You learn some more broad brush kind of things. You know, this one who was so important to our Lord, I mean, you look at the writings we have in the script. We have a gospel that stands off on itself. You have the last book of the scriptures that have a vision of heaven and what's going to happen as time progresses and our Lord finally comes back. He writes that. And then he writes three letters that we have in scripture. And so this man has presented St. John the theologian, St. John the divine. He has provided us with a tremendous amount of information. And it's really kind of interesting that the tremendous amount of information that he presents to us is kind of conflicts with what we hear a lot about in our day and age. We hear a lot about what? About, oh, the world, we got to do this world. There ain't nobody in Scripture that emphasizes more our disdain, the disdain that we should have for this world than St. John. You do not pay attention to the things in this world. If you're not a friend of God, I mean, it's that bold. And so, you know, this man for whom Jesus had this utmost of affection and the blessings and graces that were poured upon him for knowledge and things like that, we ought to pay attention when he says things and not blow those off. Because his is going to be some very, very, not that other gospel writers aren't important, but there is a particular amount of attention we should pay, because if nothing else, for just the amount of content that he as an apostle give us. So, you know, this man, as profound and as deep as understanding who he was, he, toward the end of his life, you know, shared this one a lot, you know, at the end of his life, he was so old that he had to be carried from place to place when he would speak to Christians who gathered together. And can you imagine the crowds that this man got? I mean, all the other apostles have been dead for decades, absolute decades. And people get, you get to go see one of the apostles, not just one of the apostles, but the one that laid on our Lord's breast at the Last Supper. You know, this man, you get to go see him. They carry him to these places, and there are all these people, and the only thing he would say, his homily would be, children, love one another. This went on for like years. That's all he would say. And some of the disciples that were carrying around there, Father, you know, every time we bring you, you know, there are all these people gathered, and all you say is, children, love one another. He said, because if they do that, that will suffice, because that is the Lord's commandment. But again, you don't want to have this superficial, hallmarky view of what love is. Hey, love one another. Oh, y'all get along. Just hang out with one another. Again, he could not mean that, because this is the man who said, disdain the world. This is the man who stood up to the Ebionites. This man didn't have any problem whatsoever with confronting error and heresy. So if you love somebody, this is what you'll do. If you truly care about souls, that's what you do. And children, love one another. Tell each other the truth. Iron tries iron. Correct one another. Make sure each other is being holy. That's children, love one another, is according to him. Because he couldn't mean anything else if you read his, if you weren't familiar with his writing. If you didn't know what he was saying in his writings, yeah, okay, all right, yeah, just get along with everybody. That's not what he says. Because he didn't get along with everybody. We're not supposed to. We need to love one another. And that means charity. That means sometimes sacrificially correcting people. Children, love one another. And his apostolic teaching, you know, his teaching, that in a nutshell, but all the other stuff that we should understand, you know, that apostolic teaching is what he refers to in his letter, that you may, you do what we say, that you may have fellowship with us. Notice that word. He doesn't say that you may have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ, or that you may have fellowship with God. He says, we're teaching you things that you may have fellowship with us. That's that earnestly contending for the one faith that was handed down to the apostles, and then once for all delivered to the saints. This is his apostolic teaching. St. Bede actually says this, those who want to have fellowship with God must first of all be joined to the church, and there learn the faith and be blessed with its sacraments, which the disciples truly received during their time of our Lord's incarnation. St. Bede is commenting on that passage that St. John wrote, that you may have fellowship with us. You can't have fellowship with God without having fellowship with the apostles, and the apostles are the foundation of the church. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. They are the foundation, the apostles and the prophets. And this is why St. John talks about what St. Bede says there, is they experience the thing. St. John opens his letter, that for this first reading from today, from 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which he have looked upon with our, touched with our hands, we've handled them. All these things, what is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus, that which was from the beginning. That's how he opens it. From the beginning of what? How do you open your letter like that? If you're from that which was from the beginning, if you know his gospel, you know what he's talking about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the beginning. This is the Word of which he speaks about. They have heard him. They've seen him with their own eyes. They've looked upon him, and they have handled him. That's not only our Lord, but it's the sacraments also. And so when he talks about this, he is emphasizing this necessity that St. Bede talks about, putting it in a nutshell, to be in fellowship with God, you must first be in fellowship with the church, the Catholic Church that he established on the back of Peter, that we adhere to the apostolic doctrine in its totality in order to be part of fellowship with those who are the foundation of that church, which are the apostles. So I'd say this man is very, very important. There are so many things that we read about him, not only his old gospel, but in other gospels, where we see how profoundly connected he was, to use common parlance, with our Lord. We need to appreciate that, need to pay attention to what he said. I would highly suggest, most people are familiar with the Gospel of John, most people are familiar with Revelation. Be familiar with his letters. Be familiar with them. There are three of them, but they are quite short, especially the second and third one. The third one, almost ridiculously short. You can read that before you go to bed this morning. I mean, but it's very, very important. They're all important, but we really need to kind of emphasize when our Lord emphasizes something. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.